The word of the Lord that guides our way this morning reminds us that Christ is present with us. As we read from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and verses 11 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear fellow redeemed of Jesus Christ, the two biggest days in Christianity are Christmas and Easter. On one day, the Lord Jesus entered into this world through His birth. On the other day, He re-entered into this world through His resurrection. In one day, He took up life. He took on human flesh. On the other day, He took back life from the grave. It's no surprise that these are the two most important days to the church. For one thing, the meaning behind them is simply unparalleled with any other festival or high day in the church. But for another reason, these two days are also significant because there be exactly what happened on each, because of the birth and because of the resurrection. It wasn't just about the meaning behind those days, but literally about what Jesus accomplished on Christmas and on Easter. In our lives, there is no more amazing event than the birth of a child. Those of you who have experienced such a day in your life certainly have never forgotten it and have never lived another day in your life that is equal to it. There's nothing else in life that can truly compare to seeing a human being born into this world, taking their first breath, seeing their first rays of light. Truly, the only other event as believers that we could think of that could even compare to that would be the resurrection of life, an event that none of us have witnessed and only a few people in the history of the world have laid their eyes upon. What we have before us in the Gospel of John is the birth and work of Christ, His birth and His resurrection in words. This account before us is not like Luke chapter 2. It's not a narrative of that night in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. John is not walking us through step by step in picturesque detail of exactly what happened on Christmas. No, what John tells us in his gospel is what it meant that Jesus was born. What was going on behind the scenes of what human eyes witnessed. And in that sense, this text before us today is almost as grand and magnificent as having been there ourselves that first Christmas night. What John, through the Holy Spirit, wants you to know and believe today is that this Christ child comes to His own. First and foremost, He comes as God and as Word. Really, the astounding revelation here that John gives us in chapter 1 is that, first of all, Jesus Christ is God, but also that Jesus Christ is the Word. We talk about Jesus being the Word made flesh, the Word incarnate. And that's more than just a title for Jesus. That is telling us that when God speaks to us today, it is Jesus Himself who is speaking directly to our hearts. Many people tend to think that if Jesus became human so that He could live in our place, so that He could suffer for our sins, so that He could die on the cross to make payment for us, if Jesus did all those things as a human, He must not be God anymore. Maybe He was God before He came. but certainly not once he was born. Maybe he never really was God. Maybe he was on a lower tier than God the Father or Jehovah as we know him. It's hard for us to rationalize in our minds how we could be celebrating a day where Jesus is a little helpless child taken care of by the sinful human parents that he came to redeem, and at the same time be the eternal God. The group of people that first doubted this about Jesus were present in his life. That group would include the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders. That group would include many of the Jewish people in Israel and the surrounding regions, even those who heard him preach and talk. At times in Jesus' life, that group of people who doubted whether or not he was God included members of his own family and those of his 12 disciples. The chief reason why people throughout the ages, from the very beginning of Jesus' birth up to present day, the chief reason why we have difficulty understanding that he is God is that we can't comprehend it in our minds. But hand in hand with this rejection of Jesus' divinity was a rejection of what he came to preach. If Jesus was not God, then he could not speak for God. Then he was also not the Word. Oftentimes, the events that aggravated Jesus' opponents the most were the times that he claimed to speak for God, the times that he was showing that he was the Word. Think of what the people said to Jesus. Who is this that forgives sins? Who is this that calls himself David's Lord and yet is also David's son? Who is this who teaches us to repent of our sins and believe in him? As God and Word, Jesus was continually doubted throughout his life. A lot of the time because of the body that he came to take on our behalf. But also, as God and Word, Jesus comes to more than just the Jewish people. As we celebrate each Christmas, Jesus is the Savior of all. But John tells us here at the beginning of his letter that Jesus is also the Creator. John writes, "All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created." Jesus may have come to Israel first, and they may have rejected him first. John says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as God and Word and Creator, Jesus also comes to our lives. And today, that's why we see the same unwillingness by so many, sometimes even in our own hearts, to believe everything that Jesus stands for as God and Word. People would rather see Jesus as a good person or a wise teacher, somebody that they can follow in their life to prove to God that they're worthy of getting to heaven, rather than somebody who calls them to repentance. The same messages that Jesus first spoke continue to be offensive to many people in our day and age. When he talks about submitting to God, obeying God's will, repenting of our sins, looking first at our heart instead of pointing the finger at others. Even the concept of faith, submitting and trusting God in all things, seems like a grotesque and brutal ancient tradition to many people today in the world. Sometimes even we as Christians shirk at the thought of having to give up the desires of our sinful flesh, especially when it tugs on our hearts so heavily. And so this Christmas, we humbly remember that even we who know the Christmas story so well must also admit that Jesus is God and Jesus is Word. And we must also be aware of the very thing that John says about Jesus, that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But John also tells us Jesus is more than just the eternal God, and Jesus does more than just speak on God's behalf, that Jesus also came to his own as light and life. Here we see in this message how Jesus comes down to our faith. It is especially common in our day and age for people to make faith all about what they do for God, all about how they reach God. But what we see here, as Jesus is light in life, is not how the world reacted to Jesus, Not how the world reached out to him and took him as their own, as God and Word, but rather what Jesus did for the world as God and Word. Jesus came to bring light and life. John writes, life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John goes on to tell us what the light and life of Jesus now means in our lives. To all who did receive them, he gave the right to become the children of God, those who believe in his name. This is why we have hope on Christmas. This is why, despite our rebellion from God's will, despite our many sins that hang over our heads, we have peace with God through the child born in Bethlehem, because he came to give us light and life. Light is used throughout the Bible in contrast to sin. It's used as a symbol for purity. And the message to our lives then is clear. Even though we do not follow and trust in Jesus as we should, even though our hearts are darkened in sin, and from God's perspective, there's really nothing darker from a moral perspective than sinning against his law, even though that is the case, and even though we readily admit that disobedience before God, Jesus is light. Jesus shines the light that overcomes the darkness even of our own sins and transgressions. And he's able to bring that not just to the world at large, but John says he comes to his own. He's able to bring that to your heart today. That is the very essence of what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ, that even though our lives are suffocated and engulfed with sin and its darkness and blackness, Jesus can shine his light and overcome that. As John says, we were not born this way of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. There is truly no more amazing birth that we can witness than a sinner who comes to faith in God. It's the birth that we witness here of a physical way, those special days in our lives that are unparalleled with any other event that we witness. They're but a mere picture of the rebirth of faith in Jesus Christ for the sinner. Jesus came to you as God and Word, in a way that you could not approach on your own. And he reached down into your life and shared the light of the gospel to you. And therefore, we celebrate his birth. And as we celebrate Christmas and we remember that birth of Jesus, it's a reminder of our own birth by faith as well. Again, not of the flesh, not of our will, not of human blood, but of faith in the Son of God. Remember the two major days of the Christian church, Christmas and Easter. As we think about the life that Jesus gives through the light of the gospel, it would be natural for us to connect that to Christmas Day. Obviously, what would be most important in terms of life from God's word is the life of Jesus Christ born that day on Christmas. But really, when we think about life from God, it's much more appropriate to think of his resurrection. It's much more appropriate to think of Easter Sunday rather than Christmas Sunday. Because as important as Jesus' birth is for us today, what he wants us to know when he comes to his own is not the mere fact that he was born, but that his life gives life to our lives. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we are guaranteed not just the air that we breathe today, not just the lives that we share with one another on this earth, but we're guaranteed the promise of eternal life in heaven. John says of those who followed Christ, we observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What a time it must have been in John's time to see that Savior with your eyes, to actually be able to say, I saw the glory of the only begotten of the Father. What a blessed group to be in, that chosen few that were able to lay eyes upon Jesus here on earth. But because he gives us the light of the gospel, because he breathes into us life by faith, we have the hope today of being able to see something much greater than Jesus here on earth. We'll be able to say with John and the rest of the Christians that we observe his glory not in this world of sin, but in the eternal realms of heaven. That's God's Christmas gift to you today. And God tells you he came down to his own. He comes to you today so that you may have that gift by faith. This Christmas day, the Holy Spirit reminds us through John's writings that Jesus came to his own. He came as God and Word in two ways that still baffle the imagination of human hearts. As God, he is the creator of all humankind, so he is our creator as well. As Word, he speaks truth to our lives. But also as God and Word in human flesh, Jesus came to give you light and life. The gift of faith to sustain you on your journey here on this earth, and the promise of life eternal in heaven that will overcome even your own death. Jesus still comes to you each and every day when you gather around the gospel and word and sacrament. When you receive his word by faith, he is there coming to his own with these same blessed gifts. But as we close our message today, there's one final point that must be considered. Jesus didn't do all this as a theoretical exercise. Jesus didn't do all this to teach you an academic truth. Every time that God speaks, every time that God acts, he does it with intention, he does it with purpose, and he does it with effect. So the final thought that I would lay on your heart this morning is that Jesus came to his own so that they could come to him. In verse 12, John tells us that Jesus is received by faith. John uses for the first time in his gospel that word, believe. And he would go on to use it over 100 more times. Far more than any other book in the Bible. For your life today, heed the truth that God is sharing with you this Christmas. Receive the present that he offers you in his Son, Jesus Christ. His purpose, his effect for your life through his Son, Jesus. Jesus comes to you so that you may be with him. Because of what he accomplished, his birth being the first step along that path, you can believe that. You can trust that. You can hang on to that in your life. He is God. He is Word. He is light. He is life for you. Amen. Please rise.